All the frills in our lives. It's even a key into minimalism sometimes as we focus our attention on God. It is a spiritual discipline where spaces between elements are as important as the elements themselves. It's a time that we make a commitment to God. And I'd like to ask you to make a commitment for these weeks to make space and time to keep a regular spiritual practice of listening for God. Body, mind, and spirit. You know, we prepare for worship. We wake up, we take a shower, we fix our hair, we get dressed, we eat breakfast, we have morning rituals that prepare us to meet the world. We get our bodies ready for worship. Some of us also get our minds ready for worship. We get ourselves in a frame of mind to meet and greet our brothers and sisters in Christ. Some of you will have spoken to friends who will be, who were in Sunday school this morning, or you knew would be here today. And we prepare our spirits. We have a morning devotion, prayer, scripture. It's part of what we do to prepare to come here on Sunday mornings. So I want to help us to get ready for the next 6 weeks of worship, these weeks of Lent. In our worship series, we're going to return to the traditions of the early Christian movement. Early Christians took a pilgrimage to Jerusalem as a way of remembering all that happened there. And it's not only early Christians. This community is pretty strong, has a pretty strong heritage of German and Swiss ancestors. They were pious people. When they came here from the old country, they took their piety very seriously. They took pilgrimages, although it might not have been to Jerusalem. Their pilgrimages were through prayer. So as part of our pilgrimage, we are going to have more quiet times during these services. We're going to be having a prayer called the Examine each week. It might be considered what we today would call a prayer of confession. We are going to have just one scripture reading each week, but that scripture is going to be read twice. That's a part of what is called the Lectio Divina discipline for meditation. And with a true Lectio Divina, the scripture is read four different times with people, with those listening to focus on different parts of what they hear each time. We will just be doing that twice. And in the bulletin, you can see that there's an appointment with God. And the appointment with God is going to be our prayer time here. And it's going to involve silence. The silence is intentional. I hope that you can be comfortable with the silence. It's then that we are able to really listen to God. And we're going to be learning three new choruses during these weeks. The choruses that contemporary services have today really come from the ancient practice of chanting. They would have four lines that they would say over and over and over, or sing over and over and over, and that helped them to draw closer in to God, and so we're going to be using those as well. The choruses are not in your bulletin today. The first one, one of them today will be sung by one of our youth members, and one is going to be a video, and the third one I will sing as part of the pastoral prayer. Copies will be in the bulletins for the following weeks. Whenever we pray, whenever we meditate or contemplate our God, it's an act of opening ourselves, not so that God can see who we are, because God already knows who we are, but we open ourselves so that we can listen to what God has to say to us. It's an act of opening ourselves to God and to listen. It's kind of like accepting God as our life coach. God invites us to open ourselves to the presence of the Holy Spirit today and during these weeks of Lent. I hope this helps us to focus on what God is saying to us through music, through prayer, through preaching, through the scripture.
I invite you to stand and turn to face the light as it comes into our midst. During our 40-day journey of Lent, we turn around from distractions of daily noise and focus our attention on listening in a deeper way. It is this turning or reorienting ourselves toward the holy that will characterize our season of Lent. What we pay attention to is what we are formed by. Parker Palmer suggests we must listen to what our life is telling us. In other words, to listen to the deep wisdom God gave to us, connecting to God's purpose once again. So let us begin this season of listening, of hearing that still, small voice, and finding our own true selves. Please be seated.
Thank you. Sometimes we just need to get away in order to hear from that still, small voice within. This quiet voice is an attribute of the holy, living God. As Elijah found out when he retreated to a cave, where he expected to experience God in big wind and earthquake and fire. What is your cave? What place? Perhaps a park, a path, a rocking chair, a shoreline? And what practice, such as walking, journaling, reading, or making art, helps you get quiet enough for long enough so you can hear past the chaos and into the depths of your life? This Lent, we will quiet things down and heighten our attention to the still, small voice of God and our own true self. Listening through prayer, as well as meditation on sacred text, is an ancient Lenten practice. So, let us come and rest. Come and listen.
You are invited to sit quietly in silence. Without any expectation of what you ought to be thinking, don't worry about sounds from the children or cold, simply let them flow into and out of your attention. And if you find it difficult to settle your thoughts, contemplate the suggestions on the bulletin. Please join me in prayer with the responses written on the screen above. For that which, then, I thought was right. For that which, now, I regret. For that which, hence, I know not what to do. Come and rest, come and listen. Know that grace, forgiveness, and guidance are available to you at each and every moment that we turn to receive them. Please join me in singing, Come and Find the Quiet Center, number 2128 in the Black Hymnal.
Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone. Look around this sanctuary. Did you know that this room is called the sanctuary? Okay, you knew that already. Okay, so look around. Look around and tell me, what's your favorite thing or place or that's in this room? Yes. You like the benches? Okay. What else? Yes. Family being here? Okay. Yes. You like the stained glass windows. They're beautiful, aren't they? Yep. Anything else? Yep. Yes. The cross up there? Okay. You know there's another cross in... Yes? On the, yes, there's a cross there, and there's also a blue one that shines at night. Yep. Okay. Okay. Well, those things all remind us of God, correct? All those things remind us of God and Jesus, that's right. And that helps us to then think about prayer. So I'm going to ask you all to get up, and I'm going to ask you to come along on both sides. No, just come over here. It's easier to handle you all. Okay, sit. Yeah, kneel down. Kneel down towards the... Nope, I want you to come on this side, along here, along in front, and kneel looking at the cross. Okay? Okay, turn this way now. Okay? You can't see the cross? Look at this one. Okay, that's a good idea. Okay, so when we kneel down, we think of praying, right? Do you ever kneel down to pray? Okay? Yeah? When I was little, that's what we did every night. We got down on our knees and we leaned up against the bed, and you're going to lean up against the rail here. And so what does it look like? Okay, there, Libby's got it. Well, when we're going to pray, what do we do? Cross our hands. You know why we cross our hands? When I was little, you know what they told me? We didn't cross them like this. We crossed them, we did this. Do you know why? Because, yes. Okay, because Jesus would do it, and when we hold our hands like this, what are we pointing to?
God.
To God. That's right. Okay, so.
Also,
okay, this way and this way. Yeah, God's everywhere. Okay, so so that helps us to pray, and we're going to do some other things that I would like your help with each week. We're going to make a space for people to pray. And because we've got the communion rail and the kneelers there, that's the first part of it. Now, I need four of you, I think. One more. Okay, come on up. Okay. Feel safe with that?
Yeah.
Okay. I need two more. Okay, go stand over by that lectern over there. Come on up, two of you. Just come up. Okay, I want you to take that. Okay? So let's come over here. Let's come right down here. We're going to make our place for prayer right here. So we need the table first, right? Okay, so let's just put the table here. Does that look good there?
Yeah.
Okay, and then I just have a little cloth, just because. Yeah, my dad made that table when he was a little boy. Okay, so what do you know what that says? Can you read that?
Be still and know that I am God.
Okay, Then we need a candle here. Yep, okay. And we need a place to put the used candles. Okay, and then, the used matches I meant to say. Okay, and I'm gonna do the lighting, sorry folks. Okay. I gotta light it first, don't I? Okay, so now, I want you to come over here and kneel again. Okay? Can you see it? Okay. Now, I'm gonna ask those who didn't have any part of bringing this down here to come over. You, those of you who helped me, I want you to stand up and take just a little bit of a step back. Come on over. Kneel here, please. Okay. So I want you to say, you guys can come closer now. I want you to say this with me, will you? Be still and know that I am God. Okay, now let's say it real softly. Be still and know that I am God. Again, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Okay. And then we just be quiet. And we see the candle, the lit candle, reminds us of Jesus, who is the light of the world, remember? Okay? And now when you're kneeling and praying here, maybe you'll look at the cross. Maybe you'll look at one of these crosses. Maybe you would look at that dead tree there. There's a dead tree there. Maybe, okay, but what you do is, or the eagle, yep, we try to be still. Yes, it does, doesn't it? Okay, we be still. And what? Be still and that I am God. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for helping set this up. Yes, you may blow it out. Okay. Okay, thank you. If you're going downstairs, you may walk and do that. Oh, that's right. We wanted to sing first. Okay. I'm sorry.
Lord,
Please join me in prayer with the responses that are printed on the screen. Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I lay it all out before you.
And I wait expectantly.
Because you aren't a God who enjoys wickedness.
Evil doesn't live within you.
Listen to the still small voice. Listen to the still small voice. Listen to the still small voice. Listen, God is singing. God is singing.
But me, I will enter your house because of your abundant, faithful love.
I will bow down at your holy temple, honoring you.
Listen to the still small voice. Listen to the still small voice.
Elijah went into a cave and spent the night. The Lord said, "Go out and stand at the mountain before the Lord. The Lord is passing by." A very strong wind tore through the mountains and broke apart the stones before the Lord. But the Lord wasn't in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord wasn't in the fire. After the fire, there was a sound, thin, quiet.
Elijah came to a cave where he spent the night. The Lord said, "Go out and stand before me on the mountain." And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of gentle whisper.
Elijah was fleeing for his life, not only to preserve himself because Jezebel wanted to kill him, and Ahab's henchmen were after him. But he fled because it seemed that everything that he had worked for was about to be wiped out. During his 40-day journey, Elijah did not prophesy, and he didn't do anything that was prophet-like. He was doing nothing to make himself available for duty at that point. And God wasn't fussing at him about that. Instead, God's provision was making his journey survivable. It's not clear that Elijah had any goal in mind other than to get to Sinai. It's not clear also that he had any clue what was going to happen after that. For all he knew, he was going to die. For all he knew, he would escape the wrath of people who had power. Elijah may be the first man who ever had a man cave, a place to which he could retreat, a retreat from the noise and the demands on his time, a place that was alone. Much has been said about man caves in the last 20 plus years. Tim Allen, Tim the Tool Man, designed man caves that had power tools. Ooh, ooh, he would say. He designed them because of his need for space to process and to tinker. And the question has come up, why don't women have man caves? And the answer is, women have the whole house. There's jokes about it, but there is an underlying need for space where we can find quiet, where we can retreat from noise and the expectations that are placed on us. And you all know my retreat is the ocean. I knew a man named Jim, and his man cave was the basement. And Jim loved auctions. So pretty soon, the basement man cave wasn't large enough. And so his man cave also became, their garage also became his man cave. And pretty soon, they weren't able to get the vehicles in the garage because the man cave had been filled up. And so they built a shed, not for the vehicles, to be a man cave. We need a space that is ours, a place where we can go and not have anyone giving us tasks or jobs or honey to-do lists. We need a place, all of us. The reading today reminds us of that need. In the presence of God, our souls, our spirits get refuge. So for Elijah, that cave was a place of refuge. For Elijah, it would start out being a place of questions, or rather, one question asked two different times. And the question wasn't his, it was God's. What is there for you here, Elijah? The first time the question came was the morning after Elijah arrived at the cave in the mountain. Elijah had not been well rehearsed with a reply, didn't really have an answer, or one that's an excuse. I'm the only one left to stand for you. The people are faithless. The king's people are hunting me down to kill me. It was an answer born out of frustration, of weariness, and of fear. There's nothing for me left anywhere. I'm finished. If I can talk to you and hear from you anywhere, it's here, he said. So what are you going to do about it, God? And God's response, come and see me. Elijah seemed not to move toward God at first. He stayed put in that spot deep in the cave when winds and earthquakes and fires signaling God's presence shook and lit up the mountain, and then the drama ceased. And then there was only the sound of silence. And so Elijah moved to the cave's mouth. It was a place to ask questions. It was also a place to discover answers. What is there for you here, Elijah? And he gave exactly the same response, but this time God gave a different response. I have work for you to do, places for you to go. Go to Damascus and anoint Hazael as king. Then come back to Israel and anoint Jehu. Then find Elisha and anoint him as your replacement. There are and will remain far more than just one who is faithful to me alone. What started out as a 40-day journey to the south, possibly to oblivion, he even hoped, was now a journey with a purpose. Elijah may have thought that he was going AWOL. God seems to have thought that Elijah was right where God wanted him, in the journey and beyond the journey. Elijah had a time out, and God is saying now it's the time out is over. Now there is a time in for the coming generations, for what was going to be underway. And that's how it is with us. Almost all of us get to places in our journey when we think that we are done, think that we have nothing left to give. Elijah was out of commission for over a month, and in commission again for the rest of his life. When we need that time out, whether we go someplace physically or if we go someplace in our minds, in our spirits, God does for us what God did for Elijah. God provided for him. Palmer Parker writes, ask me, no, that's not Palmer Parker. There's a poet who wrote, ask me whether what I have done is my life. Ask me whether what I have done is my life. And we say, well, of course it's my life. But there are so many of us are doing what we do, not because our inner spirit tells us that's the right thing to do. We do it because someone else is putting it on us. We go to college because that's what we're supposed to do. Now, I'm not suggesting that any of you not go to college because of this. Okay, parents? We get a job that we're supposed to love. We turn a certain age and we decide, well, it's time to get married. So we go looking for someone who will do. We strive to win. We strive to have power. And when that is the reason that we make our choices, we're not living the life that we're supposed to live. Ask me whether what I have done is my life. I was 30 years old, frustrated with my job, went into a room in the basement where my office was and said, what am I supposed to be doing with my life? I knew it wasn't right. But it was paying my bills. There's a Quaker saying that says, let your life speak. And I would add to that, let your life speak who you are. You know, even when we decide that we're supposed to be doing something else, it doesn't work if we say, you know, Martin Luther King was a good man. He was a peaceful man, so I'm going to be peaceful. Rosa Parks decided that she wasn't going to, that the way they were being treated was unjust. So I'm going to be seek justice. Mahatma Gandhi, Dorothy Day of the Catholic Worker Movement. We decide that they were good people, and so we want to emulate something in them, and then we forget that God has put something really good inside of us. And if we are being driven to a cave because we're frustrated and tired and weary, God is speaking to us. We all have a vocation, and it may not be the job that we have now. It may not be the way we're living our lives. Our vocation is not what we think someone else thinks we should do or be. Our vocation is a calling from God that this is what we're supposed to be doing. This is how my life gets fulfilled. This is what gives my life meaning. And we're invited during these weeks of Lent to go to the cave, to find some quiet, and to listen. Gracious God, is this what I'm supposed to be doing in my life? And something funny that God does also is God just doesn't give us a pat on the back because we've done the right things. God has this way of using our limitations, using our weaknesses, using our injuries to help make us whole. Ask me what mistakes I have made. That's when I have learned more about myself than any success I've ever had. When we think about our children and we have pride in who they have become, it's not always what we have done right that comes to mind. And so I would say, you know, I've got two really good children in spite of my husband and I. God uses the whole of our life's experiences. What mistakes have you made in your life that helps you to discover your vocation? How does listening to the mistakes give you insight into what you are called to be? We need to listen. We need to listen to ourselves. We need to listen to God. We need to listen to the silence that surrounds us. We're called during these weeks to quiet ourselves, to still the messages that just kind of rattle around in our brain constantly. We're called to be still and know God. Amen.
Remembering the strength of God's love and the promise of Christ's help. Let us share who we are as the church in the world. With open arms, let us join with one another as we express our faith through our gifts of love.
Please join me in our prayer of thanksgiving as printed on the screen. Bellowing the waves of your power flows over and through our gifts. Bless us with you. Bless us with our lives as we are not to the street of your world. In Jesus' name, amen.
You may be seated. A couple of prayers. One is for Marissa Linz and her two sons. Her husband passed about 2 weeks ago, and it was very sudden. So we want to remember them in our prayers. And also, Alice Kinchy is at Maplewood. She did not come Monday, she came Wednesday, and she is doing very much better. So we're happy that we celebrate her healing and pray that she continues to heal. Lord, this day we pray for all who suffer in anguish, in body, mind, or soul. We are mindful of the tortured soul which has caused deep pain in the community in Florida. In particular, we pray for those who find themselves cast into confusion and despair. We pray for those who are grieving and seek your healing touch. We pray for their families. We pray for those whom we have named today, for Marissa and her two boys, as they walk through these difficult days. We pray for Alice as she continues to heal. Hear our prayer that we may love you with our whole being and willingly share the concerns of our neighbors. Hear our prayer and make us faithful stewards of the fragile bounty of this earth, so that we might be entrusted with the riches of heaven. Hear our prayer and visit your people. Pour out your strength and courage upon us that we may hurry to make you welcome not only in our concern for others, but by serving them generously and faithfully in your name. We pray that we may desire you alone, O Lord. Strengthen our faith, so that we do not set our hearts on earthly things, but love the things of heaven. As we are surrounded by things that are passing away, help us to cling to those that will last forever. Break down barriers that divide us, and teach us to live in harmony as members of your family. Meet me. Find me in my wanderings. Meet me here, deep within my soul. You call us to love and serve you with body, mind, and spirit through loving your creation and our sisters and brothers. Open our hearts in compassion and receive these prayers on behalf of the needs of the church and the world. In the search for wholeness, O God, we are hopeful. To the call to listen, O God, we are mindful. For the journey, O God, we are grateful. We join this prayer with all of those that have been offered to you today. And we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Actually, we will sing the prayer that Jesus taught us. As you find your own space to have an appointment with God, a time of deep prayer and deepening the relationships, we do invite you to come into the sanctuary. The different prayer stations will be left in the sanctuary during these weeks. May not be left right where they are, but the prayer station will add one prayer station each week, and you're invited to come in and pray.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. We extend an extra welcome to all the visitors and guests this morning. As we move forward into our week, there's a couple of announcements to highlight. The altar flowers today are in honor of Dolores Barr's birthday this week. There is an insert in the bulletin today with a list of items that Rachel Ruland is collecting to fill a suitcase of items for the girls' orphanage in Tanzania. Please bring a donated items and put them in the box in the lobby by next Sunday. This week, midweek, Lent committee worship service will be at the First United Church of Christ on this Wednesday evening. Everyone is invited to attend their soup and chili supper before 6:30 p.m. service. Today, the Nurture Committee will be hosting a Valentine's extravaganza from 2 to 4 in the Fellowship Hall. All are welcome to attend the food, fun, dancing activities. There will be a cake walk as well. Participating in the cake walk only requires a donation to the food pantry or any item to the stock the schools. We hope you can join us for a fun afternoon. Please stand if you're able to join me in the closing song, number 2108 in the black hymnal, Oh How He Loves You and Me.
Thank you.
And now, as you move on into the world, hold that which is happening on the outside and the inside dear. Love what comes across your path for what it will teach you. Cherish the struggle that stirs in your gut for how it will guide you. And know that all people carry within them the spirit of God, a holy wisdom given at birth. Listen every day until we meet again. Get quiet enough to hear the still, small voice and to find your own. And may the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer be with you all. Amen. We will close today with singing Shalom. The lectern side will sing first, and the pulpit side will sing second.
Pass the peace with your neighbors as you move into the world.